Gracious God, open our hearts, minds, and eyes to your desire to transform us into people who daily reflect your righteousness and shine like the sun brightening the world around us. Amen. Last Sunday, we heard the very first of Jesus' parables in a whole chapter of parables told by Jesus in the 13th chapter of Matthew. These parables, just like they did for the first disciples of Jesus, often leave us scratching our heads, wondering what it is that Jesus is telling us through them. Sometimes it is as important to question what they don't mean as to question what they mean. In my questioning this week, as I have reflected upon the parable of the weeds growing among the wheat, I must confess that I don't think the message here is that we finally have permission to quit weeding our gardens, yards, and the church grounds. I realize for those of you who have been struggling mightily with weeds this summer that this is not good news. It would be nice to have a break from the worst of the weeds we have to deal with in our yards, but I believe this is not the case. I also do not believe this parable says we should not counter evil with good, or that we should be apathetic in the face of evil or pretend that evil does not exist. On the front page of yesterday's Gazette Times, there was an article about community members' response to racist chalk messages that appeared Wednesday morning on the sidewalk at Southwest 1st Street and Western Boulevard. The response was actually a twofold response. First, the racist messages were quickly cleaned from the sidewalk by public works staff. Second, approximately 20 people gathered at Riverfront Park taking brightly colored chalk to the sidewalks to write messages affirming diversity, equality, and inclusion. To put this action in the context of today's parable, the people who gathered to write messages of goodness and hope were the wheat, which had developed into good grain in spite of its roots being intertwined with evil weeds. They were the righteous shining like the sun, shining a positive light in our community, following a blight which others had inflicted. Some biblical scholars believe that this parable we heard read today, found only in the Gospel of Matthew, was bringing Jesus' words to bear on a situation that had developed in the early church. It was thought that some of the early Christians wished to expel those they considered to be sinners in order to purify the church for Christ's return, which they assumed would be very soon. Thus was born the practice of excommunication, the practice of excluding from the community certain members associated with the community. As the church grew in later years and faced severe persecution, this issue arose again. After many had been persecuted and actually killed for simply confessing their faith and their belief in Christ, some who survived that time of persecution and had suffered for remaining true to their faith and strong in their witness, felt that those who had denied their faith in order to save their own lives or the lives of family members or to avoid suffering should be excommunicated from the church and not permitted to read. Pertinent to our own history and heritage as Christians within the Lutheran tradition, we might remember that Martin Luther was excommunicated from the church for daring to challenge those in authority for corrupt practices. Needless to say, he was seen as an undesirable weed by the Pope and others eager to rid him from their field. Regardless of whether or not this parable was once used as a polemic against those a bit too ready to judge and excommunicate others, it can also be seen to raise the age-old question, from where does evil come? In the parable, the slaves of the householder come to him and say, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" The slaves then assume that the master, the sower of the good seed, would then want them to go pull them up and gather the weeds from the field. Surprisingly, the wise farmer prevents this natural response and action on their part. The farmer sees what they haven't yet realized, that in pulling up the weeds, they would also pull up and destroy good, healthy wheat, whose roots have become intertwined with the weeds. So while evil may initially come from the enemy who sowed weeds in the wheat field, evil also comes from those who mistakenly think by mere human endeavor and effort, evil can easily be identified and eradicated. Some of the Pharisees in Jesus' day were seeking to be good weeders by removing Jesus and his followers from positions of influence upon those they saw as the Jewish faithful. Saul, prior to his conversion on the road to Damascus, stood by and approved of the stoning of Stephen as if it were a way of getting rid of a bad weed. Contrary to these actions, Jesus did not remove Judas from the 12, even though he knew that Judas would betray him. Likewise, he also did not excommunicate Peter for denying him. The longer one belongs to the church community, it is inevitable that one will be faced with the desire to just remove problematic or difficult people from the community. Or sometimes people make the choice to remove themselves from the community rather than having to deal with difficult or problematic people. If, however, one is really honest, it becomes evident that at times the difficult one is none other than ourselves. We all long for and desire all causes of sin to be removed from us and for all evildoers to be removed not only from the church, but from the world. Yet Jesus calls us to refrain from only our own methods of responding to evil and to trust God's promise that in time, God will save us from the evil within ourselves and the evil in the world around us. Thus, we must move from the desire for excommunication to communication, to patience, and to trust. In one of his recent meditations, Richard Rohr said, "We must agree to live without resolution, at least for a while. This is very difficult for most people, largely because we have not been taught how to do this mentally or emotionally. As St. Paul seems to say, hope would not be the virtue that it is if it led us to quick closure and we did not have to wait for it with patience. And as another said, if you do not like what is growing in your field, wait patiently until the time of harvest. With patience, we hope for what we cannot see. And we hope in the one we do see and receive in the waters of communion. These are the things that give us the strength and possibility of reflecting God's patience, righteousness, and goodness, so that we rise and shine like the sun amid that which is evil. Thanks be to God. Amen.